Verse 1. As snow in summer, and as the rain in harvest, so honour is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Amen, and God will bless his inspired word to us. Our text tonight is verse 3. We studied verses 1 and 2 the last time. It's not the text you would just pick. It's something you would just come to as you preach through a passage. The main person in the early verses of Proverbs 26 is this character. One of the many characters in Proverbs, but this character that the Bible calls the fool. I remind you from the last time that the fool, according to the Bible, is not someone who is stupid. A fool is not someone who lacks intellectual or academic ability. No. A fool, according to the Hebrew word and the teaching of the Bible, a fool is someone who may have great knowledge or little, doesn't matter how much knowledge they have, but the fool is someone who does not do what they know in life. Whatever they know, they don't practice it. They don't apply it. It's a very practical thing. Their knowledge does not affect their life. Now that's the definition of the fool from the book of Proverbs. Many know that the Bible says, sing aloud unto the Lord, to worship God, to neglect not the gathering of yourselves together after the manner of some is. They know that the ordinances of Christ are to be observed perpetually, that is, without interruption until the second coming of Christ. But they don't do it. That's an example that I gave the last time. That's the biblical definition of the fool. Not doing that which they know is right. And we looked at verse 1 the last time, honouring the fool. Verse 1 tells us that to give honour to a fool is as out of place, damaging and foolish as snow in summer or rain at the time of harvest. It's out of place. It's not appropriate. So verse 1 teaches, do not give honour to fools. Don't set them on a pedestal. Don't exalt them. And then verse 2 is a verse concerning the fool's cursing mouth. As the bird by wandering, the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come home to roost, the Hebrew word means. The fool's cursing mouth. The verse basically says, as we looked at last time, don't worry when a fool curses you. Because the fool's curse is like a swallow. It very rarely comes home to roost, to land. By the way, a swallow is a type of bird that is in the swift family. Swift, swallows, house martins, sand martins, and so on. And the swift, which is the swallows of the swift family, it hardly ever lands. Since I was a little boy, we moved out to the White Mountain outside Lisburn when I was 6 years old, and we had a great big window in the living room, 10 foot by 6, with reinforced glass on it. Looked, I could see the Mourne Mountains from our house, right across the whole Lagan Valley. And I used to sit there day by day, all until I grew up, watching how birds fly. The wing beat, the wing shape. I can tell you from the silhouette of a bird flying in the sky what it is. But in all my years, I'm now 51, I have never in my life still seen a swift landed. Maybe you have. If you have, let me know after the meeting. That'd be interesting. I've never seen one last. Sometimes they sleep while they're flying, a swift. So the curse causeless is like a swallow, a swift. It never comes home to roost, so don't worry about it. That's what verse 2 teaches. Now we come to tonight's message, and it's all in verse 3. And like I said, it's not something we'd pick, but it's a great verse. Let me read it to you. God says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. The whole passage, way on down to halfway through the chapter, is about how to control the fool. I have 3 points tonight, and they are these. The first one is, what do the words mean in the verse? The exposition of the words. That's very important, isn't it? Secondly, my second point is the modern dodgy powder puff interpretation of what the verse means. And thirdly, what the verse really means. How do you control a fool? And the answer is by chastisement or physical punishment. Firstly then, the exposition of the words. A whip for a horse. The Hebrew word for whip means a whip, a scourge. Now, it's not an instrument that damages the creature. It's a small, if you've ever done horse riding, it's a little whip. You hold it and it goes out the back of your hand and you just give the horse a wee tap sometimes to get it to go when it doesn't want to go. It's not for hurting it, a slight sting. A whip for a horse. The word horse just means a horse. A bridle or a bit that goes in the mouth for an ass. That means a he-ass or the colt, the foal of an ass, a colt. A whip for a horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod, a branch, some kind of stick for the fool's back. The fool, the wicked, the stupid, the Hebrew word means the dullard or the arrogant, and the back means the back of his body. Now you put all those words together, and the verse says something very simple. You use a whip to control a horse, don't you? And you use a bridle in the mouth to control the colt. And in the same way as you use a whip to control a horse and a bridle to control a colt, you use the rod to control a fool. This is what God's word teaches. As a whip and a bridle are made for the horse and the colt, so a rod is made for a fool's back. Now, we note that all the things mentioned in the verse are mentioned for the purpose of control. How do you control an animal? You ever done horse riding? My sister had a horse. I used to go horse riding at the riding school where she was, doing the jumps and all sorts of things. See, if you don't have a bridle in the horse's mouth or a whip to control it, it would need to be a very, very well-trained horse for you to stay on or get it to do anything. How do you control an animal? With the appropriate tool or implement made for controlling that animal, a bridle or a whip. So, how do you control a fool? The teaching of the Bible. Well, you need a rod, according to this verse, and many others. Let me note, this is not the only passage by any means in the scripture where it talks about this type of thing. It says in Psalm 32, if you want to turn over to Psalm 32, I'll give you a few verses to back up Proverbs 26. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. Here it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee." It's the same thing, isn't it? The animal that has no ability to reason, understanding in that sense, therefore needs to be controlled by the bit and the whip, chastisement. And then it learns, and once the horse learns, you virtually never have to use the whip or the bridle. It goes by the control of your legs. It does. And then it says a similar thing in the book of Proverbs and chapter 10. It says in verse 13, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Void of understanding simply means, the Hebrew word, the person that won't listen to reason. Won't listen to it. Socrates, the great philosopher, once said, "Logic has no effect on a fool." See, the person that will not be reasoned with in a rational way, the Bible says the rod is for their back. One commentator translates it as the birch stick. Then in Proverbs 19 and 29 it says a similar thing again. "Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools." Prepared, made ready. So we come to chapter 26, as I've already read, and the verse 3. Verse 3 prescribes the appropriate treatment for a fool, a person who has been reasoned with. You've reasoned with them, you've tried to tell them, explain, they've been educated, they still won't listen. They won't do that which is lawful and right. Now, having said all this, coming to the end of the first point, there are many in Ulster today and in our nation, the United Kingdom, or in the whole of Ireland, who would say, "You know what, Pastor, what you're teaching there, what the Bible's teaching in verse 3, that doesn't sound very Christian." And many would go a lot further than that, and I say this tongue in cheek, they would say, or they would imagine, "My pacifist powder puff churchianity is not comfortable with what the Bible says here." Well, that's very good, because the Bible is not about our passive powder puff comfort. The Bible is God's word, and it's all about truth, what is right and what is wrong. And if you don't know nor agree with physical punishment, that's the thing that will keep human beings, sinners, in line, then I have to say, you're very, very naive. That brings me to the second point. The dodgy powder puff interpretation of this verse. In many modern commentaries, you will read things like, "Oh, it cannot mean that." Plainly what it says. "It cannot mean that." And many would say, "We don't believe in physical punishment anymore in the modern era." And they don't. Because generally there won't be people that don't think very much. And after all, this idea of corporal punishment has almost been totally outlawed in our nation. We no longer punish criminals. We talk with them and reintegrate them. We don't believe, many would say, in physical punishment anymore. And of course, that's what many have come to believe, being brainwashed through the mainstream media, that this is the way things are and it's bad to physically punish anyone. But of course, when you come to the Bible as a Christian, and when you see the Word of God, and you come to a passage like this, where the Word of God cuts across the popular view in the world. What does the church do? We've seen it time and time again over the last 30, 40 years. What does the church do in that circumstance where the Word of God cuts across the behavior and the opinions of the godless world? The church compromises on the Bible and reinterprets the Bible to suit the modern changes, the modern point of view. The church in our nation has done that in the area of feminism, roles of women. Just reinterpret the Bible to suit whatever the world says. They've done it in the area of sodomy. The church has many churches reinterpret the Bible to just go along and be comfortable with what the world says. Done it in the area of marriage, transgenderism even. And on it goes. Just reinterpret the Bible so it's nice and comfortable with what the world says. And then more recently, the churches have reinterpreted the Bible in the area of let's obey the government even when it comes to closing churches. So let's just reinterpret the Bible so we can still do what the world says. The godless world. And hence the glut of modern commentators, if you read them on this passage, on Proverbs generally, will say things like this. Let me read one from you. Let me read one quote to you is what I mean. On chapter 26 and verse 3. I've read the verse to you. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Here's what the commentator says. Quote, the rod doesn't have to be literal. The rod in the verse doesn't have to be a literal rod, a physical rod. Ah, that's it. A non-literal rod. Wonder what that looks like. A non-material rod, a non-physical rod. Why does it not have to be a literal rod? You see, brethren, this is not a small issue. This is a plain issue of hermeneutics, which is the word that theologians use for Bible interpretation. How we interpret the scriptures. And to say, for any commentator to say about this verse, the rod doesn't have to be literal, that is pathetic. That is not even an interpretation. There is no hermeneutical justification for saying that at all. That is woeful. It is totally wrong. Now, let me explain to you why. We know that some chapters in the Bible are symbolic, don't we? There are symbols in them. Some chapters, some passages in the Bible, there are things that are said figuratively. The book of Revelation and the beasts and Daniel and all those things. And in those passages where the language is spoken in symbols, symbolic language or figurative language, then those passages have to be interpreted according to the type of literature that they are. Symbolic, figurative, prophetical, typological, whatever. But, the worst method of interpretation of the Bible is to interpret the literal as figurative and to interpret the figurative or symbolic as literal. Because if you do that, Daniel's beasts and some of the things in the book of Revelation become extremely fierce, don't they? And if you go to, say, a history literature like Genesis, especially the first three chapters, and you interpret Genesis 1 to 3 symbolically, you make it totally irrelevant nonsense. there has to be the appropriate interpretation for the type of literature that it is. Now, is Proverbs a prophetic book? Nope. Is it an apocryphal book, full of symbols and figures? Nope. There are no symbols and figures in the whole book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, the type of literature that it is a practical wisdom book. Literal, practical wisdom. And that's what wisdom is, of course. The difference between wisdom and knowledge is practical. Knowledge is knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge applied in real life. So to be a wisdom book, it is your knowledge applied and worked out in real practical things, literal things in life. So Proverbs is a wisdom book. So it has to be taken literally and practically. So, the rod for the fool's back has to be a literal rod. As much as the whip in the very same verse for a horse's back has to be a literal whip. And the bridle in the same verse to control the colt must be a literal physical bridle. Mustn't it? You can't just say one of the implements is figurative and the other two are literal and physical. Gee, you can't. That's pathetic interpretation. That's fantasy. Disney would come up with that. So it's either all figurative or it's all literal, and especially in the one verse, but I say in the whole book. And by the way, all the best at controlling a horse with a non-literal whip and a coat the full of an ass with a non-literal bridle. It's fantasy. You'd have no control at all. In fact, once you start interpreting factual wisdom literature as being symbolic or figurative, you have to then ask, I wonder, is the horse a literal horse anyway? See, where does the line be drawn? Just in the imagination of the illogical thinker. Proverbs is a wisdom book. It's not prophetic, it's not symbolic, it's not figurative, it's literal, practical wisdom. And it's to be applied to real life. And the rod is a literal physical implement for punishing, to teach the fool his lesson. A literal whip, a literal bridle for a literal horse or an ass, and a literal rod for a literal fool. Brethren, let us always just go by the plain meaning and teaching of the Bible. Don't make the Bible talk nonsense because we're interpreting it in the wrong way. The Bible already has enough people attacking it in our modern society without Christians and commentary writers being stupid in their non-literal interpretation of wisdom passages. Let's come to the third point. The means of controlling the fool. How do you control the fool according to the Word of God? Whether it's popular in our society or not, how do you control the fool? Physical, literal, corporal punishment, because the word corporal means not spiritual, physical or bodily only, corporal. Physical, literal, corporal punishment. A degree of violence is sometimes the only thing that a fool understands. Pain, hurt, punishment. I can remember when I was wee, being naughty. And my mum would go to the drawer in the kitchen, and out would come a drumstick. And I'd belt round that kitchen table and her after me. And the longer you kept running, the worse it was when you got caught. And eventually you got caught and you got a whack across the back of the legs. stung, but it taught me, don't tell lies, don't steal, do what you're told, and so on. For a fool, it takes that type of chastisement sometimes. Not points on a license, not re-education, not reintegration, a rod, a birch stick on the back, physically and repeatedly. Let me give you a few quotes from some of the great Bible commentators on this verse. Charles Bridges, you've heard of him? Every creature subdued for the service of man needs his appropriate discipline. The fool neither hears the voice of reason nor sees the directing eye. He will be ruled neither by reason nor persuasion. Therefore, a rod is for the fool's back. See, it's not saying you just go to someone who's disobeying and start hitting them. No. You try and persuade. You try and reason. But if they're a fool, the reasoning and the persuasion will not work. And then you have to go a step further. That's what Charles Bridges says. Brady. Corporal punishment has been all but totally outlawed in the United Kingdom, yet it is the case that fools respond to nothing else. There are teenagers, he goes on to say, and young men who might respond to the birch. Matthew Henry the Puritan. Man will not be governed but by force and fear. Continue to quote in a wee minute. You think of it, I'm going to give an illustration at the end. It's so true. If you look into your own heart and I look into mine, men and women, we're sinful creatures. If there was no consequences for our actions, what would we be doing? Matthew Henry says, man will not be governed but by force or fear. A horse unbroken needs a whip for correction, an ass a bridle for direction, and to check him when he would turn out of the way. So a foolish or vicious man who will not be under the guidance and restraint of reason and religion ought to be whipped and bridled and rebuked severely and made to sting for what he has done amiss, and to be restrained from offending again. End of quote. Now that's all very well. Many people could read that and say, that sounds a bit harsh. Let me tell you something. See, if that was done, there wouldn't be as much child abuse and grooming gangs all over our nation as what there is today. If there were consequences for actions. The Bible teaches unmistakably corporal punishment for the wrongdoer. Corporal punishment. And the Bible also teaches spiritual or psychological or punishment even of mind as well. It teaches both in this world and the next. And the next. Do you realize that salvation, to be saved from your sins through faith in Jesus Christ, do you realize that salvation is all about corporal, spiritual, and psychological punishment? You ever realize that? How can you be a Christian not? Salvation is all about corporal punishment and intellectual chastisement, either on Christ for our sin or on you for your sin. It's the consequences. God believes in punishment. corporal punishment, psychological and spiritual punishment in this world and the next. Christ suffered physically on that cross for our sins. And in anguish of soul, inward and outward. And anyone that refuses Christ will be cast bodily into hell and will suffer torments, corporal and spiritual or intellectual punishment. The gospel is all about us trusting in Christ, that he would take our corporal and spiritual punishment. That's what the gospel's about. So no one can believe the gospel and not believe in corporal punishment, because Christ was punished for us. That is the gospel. Bad behavior needs to be punished. Sin deserves to be punished. To control a fool, you need punishment. That's why these verses are in the Bible. Now, let me add a point here. What am I not saying? I am not saying that we love violence. That is not what this passage is teaching. It is not what the Bible teaches. We do not love violence. We do not love smacking children. That's nonsense. We do not. We are to do our best to live peaceably with all men, the Bible says. It says in Psalm chapter 11 and verse 5 that God trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hates. God hates the violent person. He's angry with the wicked every day. There is a need for corporal punishment or violence to control mankind and sin, for the maintenance of freedom and justice. But to love violence for violence's sake is to be against God. So what the Bible teaches is not an excuse for sadism or for those who take pleasure in punishing and torturing others. Definitely not. No, the rod is for the fool's mouth. It's correctional. And also remember, it is justice and righteousness that leads to punishment. Justice. But we're not to take pleasure in it. Because even God, who is totally and ultimately holy, says this: I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he should turn from his wicked way and live. So let me conclude. I've given you 3 points. The exposition of the words, they just mean what they say. The dodgy powder puff interpretation goes into symbolism, which is absolute nonsense. And thirdly, the means of controlling a fool. And the means of controlling a fool is corporal punishment. See how relevant the Bible is. The teaching is always relevant. We look to the Word, don't we? All Scripture, even the Old Testament, is given by inspiration of God, all Scripture, and it is all profitable for doctrine, for correction, and for instruction in right. I've missed out one. Doctrine, correction, rebuke, correction, instruction in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly equipped unto all good works. I know that what the Bible teaches and what I have taught here tonight is contrary to the natural man's mind, in our generation at least. And the world is very against any kind of punishment and violence and all that. This is backed up by various silly people of history. Let me give you a quote. Listen to what Gandhi said, contradicting the Bible. An eye for an eye will only make the whole world blind. That's what he said. Well, actually, Gandhi, it didn't.
because the Jews had an eye for an eye and the whole world didn't go blind. It put people off committing crimes. What you do to others would done back to you certainly is a deterrent, isn't it?
And then another man says, violence is a disease that corrupts all of us who use it regardless of cause.
Oh dear, what on our head.
You know what Mother Teresa said? We do not need guns and bombs to bring peace. We just need love and compassion.
Uh-huh.
Welcome, Hitler. We don't need guns or bombs, but hugs and compassion. And that will bring peace, according to Mother Teresa, would it? It would lead to slavery and the death of millions. How out of touch these people are.
No.
Every nation has armies. Jesus said wars and rumors of wars will continue until his second coming. That's just a fact. It's the way of the world. No one's going to bring peace by saying, let's just be loving. Without corporal punishment, brethren, fools reign. Fools. One philosopher once said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And maybe you've heard of John Adams, a great man who was one of the founders of America. Listen to what he says. Liberty must at all hazards be supported. Our liberty, our freedoms. We have a right to it derived from our Maker God. Our fathers have earned it and bought it for us at the expense of their ease, the expense of their estates, the expense of their pleasure, and eventually at the expense of their blood. Let's not give up our liberty. It was hard earned. By some Nancy interpretation of weakness. Physical punishment is necessary for evil men. Orwell once said, people sleep peacefully in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. That's true. Otherwise, you wouldn't need an army and you wouldn't need a police force and you wouldn't lock your door at night and you wouldn't have alarms. See? The Bible teaches that a rod is for the back of a fool. Anyone that's against any degree of violence for punishing evil, you're wrong. Let me say this. Anyone who clings to the historically untrue and thoroughly immoral doctrine that violence never solves anything should imagine Napoleon Bonaparte and Lord Nelson debating it, and we shall have Winston Churchill and Hitler being the referees. Because in reality, you see, violence, war, naked force has settled more issues in the history of this world than any other factor. And anyone that forgets this basic truth does so, and they pay for forgetting that basic truth with their lives and their freedoms. Abraham's nephew Lot was captured by the kings. What did he do? Go and give them a hug? No, he gathered his men and he went to war and he brought his nephew back. Corporal punishment is for the bag of fools. I close with this. When I first went to White Abbey Church as the pastor in the year 2003, we moved into a house in Carrickfergus. And so I travelled from Carrickfergus to White Abbey quite a lot of times. I actually worked it out today in the calculator, usually 4 to 5 times a week. So I would have made that trip about 4,000 times in 9 years when we lived in Carrick. Now, the road system as it was then, when you come out of Carrick, there was a two-lane carriageway. And when the two-lane carriageway came to an end beside the big police training station, you were allowed to go 50 miles an hour in the carriageway, because it was two lanes. And then a sign was up warning that the two lanes were converging into one lane, and then there was like two great big signs saying 40 miles an hour. You'd reduce your speed. And then sure enough, after that, a couple of hundred metres, instead of two lanes, there was only one. Now, I made that trip 4,000 times minimum. And out of those 4,000 times, every time I got to the 40 mile an hour sign, I slowed down to 40 mile an hour. And everyone just went, whoom, whoom, whizzing past, overtaking, you know, until the very last moment. Twice out of the 4,000 times, I slowed down to 40 miles an hour, and nobody flew past, breaking the speed limit, and nobody overtook me. You know why? Because on those two times, there was a police car behind me. Now, all those drivers, they were all educated. Educational solve. They were all educated. They'd all passed their test, and they were all aware of the speed limit. The only thing kept them from breaking the law was the threat of punishment. Educated people, people that are aware of the law, still need the threat of punishment to keep them in line. And that's human nature. That's why God says in the verse, a whip for the horse and a bridle for the ass and a rod for the fool's back. May the Lord bless you and thank you for your attention.